All right, good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. You're here, the Home Improvement Show. You heard the man. I'm your man, Rich Orris, here for you guys today, and we'll be covering for the next 2 hours every kind of home essential, home maintenance, home remodeling, what you need. We've got it right here. And the best part of the whole thing is your questions, your topic, your conversations is what the show's all about. What do you need? What do you got going on? We're taking your calls live on the air right here. You can find me at 314-436-7900. Again, pick up the phone, put this in. You can even save it in your cell phones now. Have it on speed dial. 314-436-7900. No matter what is happening at your home, we can tackle it for you today. And of course, it's been hot. It's the day after the 4th of July. We can chat a lot about 4th of July stuff, fire safety, a lot of tips. Got some maybe some myths put together of what people might think about fire safety or when something may or may not be safe for you. We can go through a bunch of thoughts and ideas like that for you. Got some post 4th of July tips for you also. But again, what we're looking for is what you have on tap. What do you have going on in your neighborhood, in your home, around your home? So grab your favorite drink, maybe warm up a hot dog left over from yesterday, jump on the phone, and let's see what's happening. Again, one more time, 314-436-7900 is where you are going to find me. And today we've got cards cutting in that in the second hour, a little bit into it. So we'll have a little more than an hour for KMOX and for cards fans. But if you want more home improvement after that, you can jump right over with us to 97.1 FM and you can stick with the home improvement. Get your full 2 hours. Get your questions answered. Same phone number, both places, 314-436-7900, and we're going to see who is on tap. First up, we've got right away, we've got Jennifer. Let's jump in there and see what Jennifer has going on. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Happy 4th. Hope you're having a good weekend.
We are, and except for a problem in our bedroom. We have a second floor master bedroom. And every time it gets hot and humid in the summer, for the last several years, we've had a kind of moldy, musty smell. And we've cut open the drywall under the bay window. We can find no evidence of water coming in anywhere. It seems dry, but you can smell it more even when we open the wall. So we're wondering if you have any ideas on what that could be and how to remedy it.
Yeah, that is definitely a tough one that would come with a really good look and inspection of things. I would definitely want to look around that room really well and look for any type of water moisture stuff. Looking at the outside of the house, what kind of siding do you have on the home?
It's vinyl siding, I think from when the house was built in 2003.
Okay. And then, so inside the home, when you took some of the drywall out behind the bay window, was there any plastic on the wall behind that drywall?
There was, you know, for, I know, like the vapor barrier. And, it did feel a little moist at first, and when we cut that, you know, during the humid months only, when it got dry again, it didn't feel like that. So I do feel like that could be part of the problem, but I don't know what to do to remedy that without taking our whole house apart.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely becomes a hard thing to do, because if removing that plastic comes into play, then yeah, there's only one way to do that. You got to take that drywall down. You got to remove all that plastic. Good time to go ahead and re-insulate, because that's the easy part. That's not going to take much money or much time to get some new insulation in there. And then you're putting drywall back. That's not always necessarily 100% of what could be happening or what the solution might be. So when you said bay window, so this window's kind of sticking out in angles. And okay, so when you look at that bay window from outside of the home, is it, does the whole house take that shape down through the first floor and the foundation, or is that like the underside of the floor? Is it kind of what we call cantilevered, sticking out over the first floor wall and kind of beyond it?
It's so there, it is all one, because there's another bay window below it on the floor below it. So it's all one down, and it doesn't go to the ground. It's like a raised and then over our patio.
Okay. Okay. So it's cantilevered on the first floor, but not the second floor. So that answers my question on, because under that cantilever, you can get a lot of air infiltration, a lot of hot air in the summer, and that could be mixing with the cool air of the air conditioner running and the vent pipes and going there. So do you have a, I'm guessing you have like some floor register vents in that bay. Yeah. So, so part of what, there's several steps of what could be going on. One, just depending on the insulation in the attic, hopefully 2003, you might be okay with the attic. We should have been doing fairly well by then with attic insulation, but it's definitely worth looking at and making sure you've got enough and nothing's changed or moved around or anything like that. Have you lived in the home the whole time?
No, just 10 years.
Just 10 years. Okay. So there might, if any work was done before you got the home and insulation was moved around, that's a big part of, so really figuring out where things could be coming from is a really good inspection of looking in the attic and making sure you it's insulated well and you're not getting heat down into the room too much, causing moisture and walls getting wet. And because sometimes you can have that a little bit and you don't even really necessarily see it. Putting a flashlight down the walls towards the top to see if you see any kind of like water marks, like it looks like water's been running down the wall. Sometimes you can't really see it till you look at it at an angle, kind of with a flashlight.
Okay.
So inspecting that attic is good. Things could be coming from there. Looking at those walls, the bay, going to the outside and examining behind the siding, seeing if there's house wrap, seeing what happens with water and moisture, because that's one of the biggest ones, is it's usually some kind of air, water leaking into the walls or into the floor. Yours could be air, because if your floor, if you don't have a good house wrap and you're not airtight and you're having hot air from summer infiltrate into that floor around that bay, and your HVAC pipes run through the floor into that bay, you could be getting condensation and moisture in there.
Okay.
And that smell could be coming from there, and maybe you're smelling it a little bit more when you had the drywall off, because you just kind of opened things up and it could be a little bit from below. So trying to examine that, look in the ductwork, look from the outside. It's kind of a not one easy answer in a process of elimination. And it could be just all around the bottom of your two exterior walls, because if you're getting just condensation forming on that plastic and it just runs down to the bottom and it hits the bottom plate and it's all down at the bottom, it could be that too. I've seen that.
And so with the remedy for that, if that's what it is, because I suspect it may be, just from, that was the only bit of moisture we could find at all, was just condensation on that plastic, on that vapor drop. Would we have to take the siding all off and redo that?
I would, yes. So basically, if that's the main thing we're finding, we're thinking, and we're seeing, because it could help you with two things too, that maybe you even can't see, is you tackle it from the inside also. You take off the drywall, you take off that plastic, you do not want it there. You make sure the insulation's good, or you just change the insulation for new so you know you've got good working bat-style insulation in the wall. Then when you go to the outside, so you're going to re-drywall, tape, mud paint, all that stuff, base trim. When you go to the outside, you take the siding off and you put a house wrap on the outside of the wall. That house wrap will keep water and moisture like a drainage plane from getting inside that wall when it gets behind your vinyl siding. And I say when it gets behind your vinyl siding because on a bay built like that, there's a lot more opportunity for water to get behind vinyl siding than on a flat wall. So there's definitely a lot can get behind there. But the other thing that house wrap will do is it will let that wall breathe. It will let moisture vapor out. So if there's humidity from inside the home, if there's anything like that going on, it can still get rid of that moisture vapor through it, but keep water from coming in, and it'll airtight the area. So if you have air infiltration around that window, around the floorboards and where the wall kind of, your second floor wall turns into a floor, then your floor turns into the first floor wall, there's a lot of spots there for water and air to infiltrate in. And that's where your ductwork is. So the next advantage is you've air sealed it, so you're keeping out some of that hot air in the summer, and that can eliminate some condensation also down in the floor and around that ductwork.
Okay. So that sounds expensive, but thank you, because I think that's probably right on. And that's the only area in the house we have the problem is on that bay. And it probably is that moisture coming in from underneath that hot air. So, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Jennifer. Definitely something we deal with and handle and talk about here on the show all the time. How to find these moisture sources can be really, really difficult. A lot of different reasons. So maybe I can go over some of the different odd, uncommon things that I've found and seen in the past also here in a little bit. But again, we're going to get into our first break. But for you, your questions, your topics, what do you need? Let me know, 314-436-7900. I'll be here for you. More home improvement right after this. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for you. Again, we've got plenty of show, plenty of time for conversations, questions. What do you have going on? We talk about the water, the moisture. I mean, we're in St. Louis. It's humid. There's rain. There's storms. There's wind-driven rains. This stuff happens a lot. If you've got anything like that you think may be going on, feel free to jump in. Give us a call, 314-436-7900. Your topic is what we're looking for. Anything that you may need today. And, of course, the past few weeks we've had questions, different areas, but very, very similar to Jennifer's in a way of moisture smell, mold, mildew smell. We just talked to Ed last week about some ductwork pipes in the basement condensating that they think is too close to another vent pipe. But we've also got a finished basement with a drop ceiling that really could very easily house a lot of warm air that infiltrates in. So looking at how to figure these things out can really be a lot of steps. Sometimes seeing what happens, maybe doing one step and waiting for the next and monitoring and writing down notes. What do you see when? What was the weather like when something might have been going on? Do you get the smell more often if it's raining outside? And it just takes a lot of looking and checking out to really figure out. I've seen so many different a lot of common situations, but a lot of uncommon too, that it really takes some theories and some thought and some looking to find and figure out, and even understanding the home better. To when you look at the home from the outside, then you look at it from the inside and you start to realize, wait a minute, this is like this out here, and it's not like this out here. And you dig into some stuff to really find out. I've been through tons of that in the past, well, 30-something years, but a real lot here in the past 12 to 24 with Mosby Building Arts, fixing this stuff 20-something years ago as a project manager in the field, and then figuring some of this out as a consultant, going around and looking and trying to help and figure some of these issues out for some clients is kind of that next step. So I've seen a ton. I can go over some of that in just a little bit, but we're going to jump on the phone here and see what Michael's got going on for us. Hey, you there?
Hey there. Yes, sir.
Yes. Thanks for calling. What's happening?
Well, I've got a leak, appears to be a leaky toilet. It is in the basement, and it's a carpeted basement or carpeted bathroom. And I'm figuring it's 50 years old, and it's probably just a wax seal. But I'm seeing some moisture on the carpet itself.
Okay.
And just seeing it, you're thinking the same way I am, or if I'm missing the boat, or where we're going.
Yeah, I would say that definitely one of the things that could be going on, which is kind of somewhat the same as that wax seal, because it just could be the culprit that causes it, is in a basement. You've got rock and 4 inches of concrete, and you can get some settling over years. You can get kind of some movement there. So yeah, you could have just a little bit of concrete settling that's kind of causing that separation, and the toilet kind of just shifts a little bit, not even enough to tell, but it breaks that seal. And then there you go. You definitely end up with the water coming out when you flush around that seal. And, you know, when you're on the main floor or the second floor, sometimes you start seeing it on the floor. Sometimes you start seeing it from below, because that water's got more places, more opportunity to find a different path and go somewhere. On the basement floor, it doesn't have a lot of opportunity or path. It's kind of hitting the floor and then running out. So that definitely leads me more towards that. Now, being so old, what you find when you get in there, you could find a crack pipe or something like that once that toilet's taken up. So yeah, I think you're headed in the right direction, taking that up and checking that height and the wax ring and all of that, and seeing where you can kind of see where that water's coming from. You'll see more once the toilet's up. But I would definitely recommend too, you know, considering some kind of vinyl plank flooring, ceramic tile on the concrete if the concrete isn't doing a lot of moving. Some kind of floor that could tolerate that a little better, and maybe that you see it sooner.
Because yeah,
you'll see the water sooner. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of pulling up that it's one of those, what do you call it, wet dry carpet things.
Yeah, like the real thin nap.
Yeah, real thin nap, and it's got the real thick rubber on the back. And
yeah.
I've got, when we built the house, I still got a roll of that carpet from down there that I could replace the soiled stuff with. But I was thinking it might be better to just put some tile down there just for that reason, just have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be something worth considering, even if you fixed it for now and then made a plan for a year or two away or something like that to redo that and get a different floor. And yeah, just something that would show the signs of that a lot sooner, because this, with carpet, this could have been happening for quite a while, and it'd take you a lot longer to see that if it's running under that rubber and it's kind of spreading out and all that with carpet. Yeah, it'd definitely be harder to tell and happening for longer before you find it.
Okay, I just want to get an expert's opinion, think I'm on the right track.
Yep, nope, I think you're doing well, and the big thing, like I said, is examine the pipe, examine where it mounts and the ring around there that the bolts go on and everything, and just make sure nothing looks too old, cracked, something like that going on that could be causing it also. You might be into a bigger pipe in the floor. If it's 50 years, you're talking possibly cast iron and maybe something a little more going on in the pipe once you got that toilet off.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. I know that there's cast iron stack, you know, other places in there, yep. And I just don't remember if that was cast, and because it's all copper piping. It's not PVC yet. So
No, I'm sure it's probably cast iron pipe going there, which isn't bad. I mean, they're great. They hold up for years and years and years. But once they go, once they get thin, once they crack, it could be a pretty decent repair to break through concrete floor and find a good solid spot and replace some of that pipe. So hopefully it's just your ring. Yeah.
Sounds cool, Rich. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Yep, no problem. Appreciate the call. I would definitely clean up around that pipe, scrape off around it, and really try and get a good look at the inside of that pipe and that elbow right where it goes down, just to verify and just to make sure. So, hey, everybody out there, just like Michael, give me a shout. Let's check it out. Let's see what's going on for you here today, the day after the 4th of July. Hopefully we're having a good weekend, having a good time. Hopefully everybody made it out okay and stayed safe yesterday. We're going to jump into our break, but we'll have plenty more questions, conversations, and home improvement time for you and for everybody when we return. 314-436-7900. Don't forget it. More to come. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show for everybody. Topic today, what is going on at your home the day after the 4th of July? How are the festivities, the barbecuing? What do you have happening the next day? Still fairly warm out, not like as hot like it was. So we do have some opportunity here coming up to perform some outside work, to get some maintenance stuff looked at, done. It's not necessarily cool out. It's not fall, but it's also not as hot as it was a week or two ago with some of these really extreme heats. So we do have the opportunity to check things out, do some outside work, see what's going on. Definitely the day after the 4th of July, it's going to be good to go around and look at things like we talk about that walkabout all the time. Well, this is a good day to do it because maybe you have gutters full of bottle rockets, some debris on the roof. Look at the siding, look at the roof, just really kind of check and make sure everything still looks good. Look at the yard, what's out there. You got to watch out for those duds or the things that didn't go off too, that stuff can happen way later. Get that stuff wet, get it kind of put away and wet in a bucket before you just throw it out. Really just check things out and be safe. It's a good time to really focus on making sure everybody's safe. So I know the emergency rooms on the 4th of July are kind of crazy. I was talking with a couple of my neighbors last night, and they were telling me a story about last 4th of July that somebody was actually just bringing like the trash can, like the wheeled dumpster kind of trash can down. So if you have like what we have out in O'Fallon, the gray or the recycling ones, they got two wheels on the back and the big lid, they're kind of tall. And you got to be really careful moving these things around with the lid open and folded over. You got to close that lid before you move any of that around. The exact same thing happened to my wife in the snow and ice last year, trying to just pull that thing up after and the lid was flipped down after they emptied it, and that thing hits the ground or you step on it. So last 4th of July, they thought he got hit by a firework or something. This one of the neighbors is like bleeding from over his eye and all this. Well, he stepped on that lid as it was moving that trash can and fell down and hit that trash can and cut himself open, ended up in the emergency room getting stitches because of just an accident kind of moving that trash can around. So be safe. Watch what's going on and what's happening. And you have anything like that you want to chat about, maybe a story like that, something happening, or a question, something happening around your house, I'm here right now. We're doing good. 314-436-7900 is going to find me right away. Phone lines are wide open. And kind of getting back into this whole conversation, the moisture, the siding, the different ways that you find moisture sources and some of the strange ways. I tell you, one thing that I see a lot is the combination between a house and concrete around the outside of the house, how they build a house, and then putting concrete up against that house. And with all sorts of scenarios like front doors, you have a stoop that goes down 7 inches from your front door. And the thing to bear in mind, then you've got your porch, you know, right below that. Well, the thing to bear in mind is below that stoop, your floor is about 10 to 12 inches thick before you hit that foundation. So that concrete is up on the wall. So any kind of leak getting down there, you can replace a door. But if you start getting water around that siding, down the sides of the door, even if the door is done perfectly, really, really well, it can start going between the concrete and those floorboards, the band board, everything around the house, and you're still getting it in your basement, and you're like, I just got a new front door. How is that even possible? One thing always affects and interacts with the other. In a big one that I've seen several times that is kind of uncommon, when you cantilever floor joists, like we were talking about with Jennifer's, you have a bay window that the wall bays out on angles and then straightens, and you've got three windows in there. And what they do is the foundation runs straight and they stick the floor joist out beyond the foundation. So now you've got kind of the underside of the floor on the outside of the house. So if you're up in the air and you can see the underside of that, generally you've got like a sheet of plywood down there and that's it. So you've got ductwork coming in through the floor. You've got this piece of plywood, maybe a little bit of insulation they tried to stuff in there. Well, when you think about a wall system that basically has siding, half-inch plywood, it has a 2x4 stud insulation in it on the inside. Now you've got the drywall. Like with Jennifer's, you've got a layer of plastic that we do not want. That is a big no-no these days. But you've got your drywall, so it's a wall system. And they don't want to put plumbing in that wall system. They don't want to put HVAC in that wall system because that wall system only insulates so well. So when you build the whole system, you get about a R17, 18, maybe up to 20 if you're lucky, when you combine that whole system. Now you put that in the floor, you put R11 insulation down in a piece of half-inch plywood, and you've got like an R11 and a half value, and you've got a cold ductwork right on the other side of that. That's where things mix and match and don't work well. Now, think about this. You add concrete around that. That's where your front porch is. I've seen this a lot. So then they pour a front porch around that. Below that cantilevered is about 4 inches of rock and dirt just underneath there. So you've got all this ground moisture wicking through concrete, and it gets to the underside of that kind of cantilevered bay area, and it's trapped by the concrete, the ground, everything coming up. So I've seen a lot of mold, mildew, and musty smells in basements because of that type of scenario on the outside of the house. So doing that investigation, like I was talking about Jennifer, with Jennifer really takes a good understanding of the home. So as you're looking at things inside and out, you can then kind of go, okay, These are scenarios we need to look into and check into, because that's when strange things can happen. So, hey, we got a lot of that, plenty more to come. We've got your stories, your thoughts, your conversations, and plenty of time for everybody. So we're going to jump into a break here, but don't forget to call in. Let me know what's happening. Let me know how your weekend's going. Let me know how the 4th was. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me. When? Right here, right now, today. We've got plenty of time coming up, plenty of show left for everybody. So, hey, we'll have more home improvement right after this. Right, we're back. Welcome back. Plenty of home improvement show for you left here. Plenty of time to get to your questions, your topic, and your concerns. What's happening out and about this weekend in St. Louis for you? 314-436-7900 finds me right here. We can squeeze you in if you get in right away, and then we'll have a whole nother hour on top of this for you in the next hour. So we've been talking a lot about the moisture sources and controlling that and humidity in the house and all these different ways, the musty smells, and kind of started to get into how things interact with the home and building the home, and how cantilevers work and how concrete can kind of interact. And there's better ways to do things when concrete does start touching up against your home, and what you do to protect the home, and working with B&W for so long, B&W Concrete, to really help them. And then they help us. And this is a team effort when we look at these jobs and when we really figure things out. So I'm not just bringing them in because architect says this or engineer says that, and we just need concrete. It's for conversation, advice, and really working together. Sometimes we go a little bit above and beyond for different reasons that maybe the engineer is not really concerned with how we grade the yard. He just wants to make sure it's held up. And then we're looking at it going, yeah, we should really do it this way because it's going to help something else. And how all these materials interact with our homes. Brick is another one. Brick can be just like the concrete as far as how you build the home, how you handle that water getting through it, the moisture, it's porous, condensation getting on the backside of the brick. And I tell you, when building, looking at how structures are built, how houses end up getting built, there's a lot there that kind of gets forgotten about, doesn't really, the amount of homes that I've seen built too close to the ground, just really having a lot of water around them, and the amount of homes I've seen with brick that do not have a brick ledge in the foundation, kind of a fundamental way to mix a house with brick and how to manage holding it up, water, moisture getting behind it, where everything goes. A brick ledge in a foundation is so important to how that's controlled and keeping rainwater, wind-driven rains, and moisture and all that out of your actual basement. And I'm talking about homes that were built like Jennifer's in 2003 or so. I've looked at somewhere, a custom home builder built the home and there's no brick ledge and the home's only a couple, 2 or 3 years old, and they're getting water inside. And I'm just looking at it like, and one of them, the worst area they had was really, they had like a solarium kind of sunroom for plants, that all glass, the humidity that's inside of there with the plants and the glass and keeping plants growing. I mean, plants put off so much moisture. Having a whole lot of them can literally raise the humidity in your home. And I'm going, that's kind of maybe part of your issue even in this area. So now that brick's all porous and there's a brick wall right there and there's no brick ledge and there's so much moisture getting in it, they're seeing water when it rains and different times in their basement. And the brick ledge would help hold that, put it where you need it to go, and have weep holes to to get it out through the bottom of the brick. And there's so many ways to do that better, and missing out on that is, it's just too common. And it's amazing that it's still just too common. So those cantilever floor joists and how that's put together, how all these different building materials mix together, and what happens, it's quite amazing the things that we can see and how houses are put together. I've just recently had two houses with front porch issues with water getting in, and both houses, the actual basement is underneath the front porch. One house was built in the 1800s, like 1890, something like that. And the other house was built in like 2012. And I'm going, huh? Yeah. So I get the one. It used to have shutters that would shut and close off the front porch, that they probably had a staff. They always had people around the house. They would see bad weather coming and they'd shut these storm doors to keep water off the porch. And of course, our lifestyles today, it just doesn't include that. No one's hanging out around my house going, oh, there's a storm coming, we should probably close this window, or we should probably make sure these shutters are done. I mean, it just doesn't happen in today's world. So everything's so different. So then I see the one built recently and I'm like, wow, what, how did they even design that? What were they even thinking? Why that would be a good idea, and how to have that. And does it look awesome? It's the coolest looking house ever. It's just a bad way to put that together and eventually get leaks where we're having to rebuild it and try and do something different to keep leaks out. But hey, that's what we do. That's why I'm here. I want to help. I want to be a part of this. So hey, in the next hour after the news break, we'll have plenty of show, plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900 is going to find me. We got a whole nother hour left. Can't wait to get back at it. More home improvement after the break. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you today. Plenty of going on, plenty of good calls, good questions, good topics. A lot we can go over for you. Don't forget that we're right here for you. 314-436-7900. And of course, the day after the 4th of July, there's a lot of focus during this weekend, and of course on the 4th of July, on fire safety, a lot that can be even looked at and thought about the day after as you go around. We were kind of talking earlier about that whole walkabout, do your yard and roof and deck inspection, really, really look around at what's going on and make sure, look for those leftover fireworks, look for anything on your roof and your gutters and your landscaping. Be very, very careful with duds, anything that looks like it didn't go off. Keep anything you find and collect away from your house. I mean, the best thing to do is get a bucket of water and stuff them in there, even if they're not hot, even if you think everything seems fine. Put them away from the house, edge of the driveway, then throw them away once they've had a little time like that. But your decks is also, if you were celebrating and having a good time, and especially out on your decks, everybody was probably out there, really look around and check for burns, any kind of hot spots. Look at the grilling area, make sure everything's kind of properly cleaned and cooled off, and just doesn't look like anything's really out of place. Having fire extinguishers around is a good idea and a big deal. But the question comes into, when's the last time you really checked your fire extinguisher? Even if you have one, have you looked at it? Have you checked to make sure that it's not expired, that it has the pressure? Check the dates on it. You got to make sure they work, because if they're old and you just don't realize it and you haven't checked, it's not going to be a really great situation in the event that you were to need it. So check into that and watch out for your outdoor electrical. Think about the safety in that outdoor electrical, extension cords, patio lights, any kind of outdoor fans. Everything should be rated for outdoor use. After the holiday, really check all that stuff. Look for frayed wires. Look for anything that could be out of place, bulbs coming out of their socket, something not plugged in all the way or coming loose. Look for all of that after your gatherings and your parties on the 4th of July. And really looking for properly disposing, thinking about the charcoal, the fireworks, making sure that they're soaked, making sure you dispose them right. There's a lot to that stuff happening later, and you hear these stories, and I've seen when we had one not too long ago out in O'Fallon where they put the trash can up against the outside of the garage and the whole garage went, and then the roof of the main house, and that house was being rebuilt for an awfully long time after that, and it was a really big mess. So make sure you're staying safe and really paying attention to all of that and checking. This is a good time to think about checking your smoke alarms, your smoke detectors, your CO detectors, having them in the right places and making sure they work around this time and the holidays. There's going to be more fireworks tonight, so you're going to want to make sure that everything's in good working order. So hey, we've got plenty of stuff coming up for you. We got plenty of home improvement for you. We're going to jump into a short break here, but remember, you can find me right here, 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere, and we'll have plenty more home improvement after this. Home Improvement Show back again for you, and you know, we've got plenty of time left for you. For Cards fans, we're going to be jumping into the Cardinals games pretty soon here. Go Cards, excited for them. Hopefully they'll do better today. But if you're a home improvement fan, if you've got questions, if you got anything happening, you want to hear more home improvement information, stick with me. Just jump over to 97.1 FM and we're going to be there. We're going to keep this home improvement conversation going. And speaking of that, we were just going over some of those day after 4th of July kind of inspection fire tips. Really watch out. There's going to be more going on tonight. And I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more barbecuing going on tonight and today. And there's a lot to be said for fire safety tips when barbecuing. You got to really watch what you do and where you do it and how you do it. And the number one tip there for when barbecuing for fire safety is getting that grill away from your home. You want to be like 10 feet away from any siding, decks, deck rails, garages, overhangs. Really, that heat can scorch wood. It can warp vinyl siding really easily. And, or worse, it could even ignite something that you didn't want it to ignite. We were just talking about checking out your fire extinguishers. Well, making sure that they're good, making sure you have them, making sure that they're charged and ready to go and not expired. Well, here's one where you got to make sure that you have a fire extinguisher that's rated for grease fires. It's great for charcoal fires also, but have that as your backup for either any kind of grilling. There's going to be a lot of grease. So the next thing, this is one where I gotta kind of admit to everybody, I wish I were a little bit better at this. It is definitely time after yesterday for me to do a major kind of breakdown and cleaning of my grill, my smoker, because cleaning that grill regularly will really help keep that grease down. It'll avoid those grease fires just jumping up. And I had a couple that wanted to start a little bit yesterday, and you got to be at hand and ready to keep control of them. But keeping that grill clean is the best and the quickest and the easiest way to prevent some big trouble from happening while you're there, while you're grilling. Leaks, looking for leaks. You got a propane tank grill. Check that thing for leaks. Make sure that you can spray it with some water, with some dish soap in it, and just make sure that all the lines are still good. If you've had a grill for a long time, spraying those lines, just making sure there's not small leaks. If you see bubbles, well, then you've got gas leaking and coming out, and you need to shut it down immediately and get on tap and get that corrected, get a new grill, get it fixed, whatever you need to do. Never grilling in your garage, any kind of closed space, indoor space, under roofs is just not a great thing. You still get carbon monoxide building up, like inside a garage, even if the door's open, that can still be a problem. And of course, you're probably, if you're in there, you're too close to everything and you need to be way out. And there's a lot of HOAs now. There's a lot of apartment complexes and villa HOAs, and most HOAs now, they just don't even allow grilling. It's something to think about where you move and where you live, because you could end up somewhere where you find out that they have rules. They don't even want you to bring it out into the edge of your driveway and then back into the garage because it still might be hot, and that's where fires and all that takes place. It's just not a great thing. So be safe. Be careful. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, but for everybody, join me on 97.1. We'll do more home improvement. Other than that, go Cards. We'll be back.